Okay, well, it's it's always good to see the team out on the field for the first time. You know, this is really kind of the culmination of a lot of work in the off season, team building, putting together the roster with the pro players, college players, various other ways of forming a roster, coaching staff, and just getting ready to go here. And we got a long haul ahead of us. Got a lot of and a lot of big challenges ahead, but we'll just take it day by day and see if we can, just keep putting one foot in front of the other, string some good practices, good days together, keep improving here as a football team. We've moved into a new office setup. We kind of did it partially in the spring and then finished that off here in the this past month. So kind of new coaches' offices, new meeting rooms, new training facility, upgraded the weight room. So made a lot of capital improvements here. And, my 15th year with the team now, kind of reflect on, where we were in 2000, Bryant College and, the old stadium and so forth. And, Robert's made a, huge commitment in many ways financially and otherwise, in terms of, giving us a great support, great opportunity to field a competitive team. And so with our new, some of our new facilities in place and, kind of the start of a new year here, we're excited to get going. Like I said, it's a long way to go. We're not going to, we're not going to change anything in one day or one practice or one drill. But I think the accumulation of all the things that we do here over the next 10 days or so prior to going to Washington will, hopefully give us a good foundation into the season and to, into two competitive weeks against Washington and Philadelphia and then, build our team towards opening day in a 16-game regular season schedule. So, looking forward to that opportunity, and the big challenges that are ahead. But it's good to be out on the field, good to get going.
You ever miss the old days at Bryant?
Well, there was a lot of great things about, I think back probably to every training camp that I've been in, from the first one at Baltimore to Detroit to, the Giants and all the way down the line. Those were different times, different. Each camp kind of has its own dynamics. It has its own personality, its own characters, if you will, and on the team characteristics. They're all. They're all etched in there somewhere. And things were what they were. Certainly we had a lot more practices, a lot more practice time, a lot more Spartan type facilities. But it was all relative, and I think overall, if there's one thing I would say, that it's there haven't been very many good years that I've been a part of that didn't go back to a good training camp, good base. I don't think that necessarily ensures that everything's going to go well, but I think when things don't go well in camp, that's not a good forecaster for, the way it's going to go the rest of the year. So hope we can get off to a good start and have a good, productive camp.
When you started out, I think the first staff you were on had six coaches or something like that, and now you have three times that.
Well, some staffs do.
Right. What does it sort of say to you about those coaches in those days, so much work they had to do?
It's interesting. I mean, there was a lot less players, too. Right. And there was a lot less substitution. And, basically 11 players that were on the field stayed on the field until somebody got hurt. In the early 70s, George Allen, started kind of the nickel defense where he would, bring in a defensive back for a Will linebacker. It was a one-for-one substitution. But all the calls and everything were exactly the same. There were no, nickel defenses. It was just a one-for-one substitution of a, better pass defender in passing situations for a linebacker. And, of course, it's evolved quite a ways since then. I remember one of the first things I did in 1975 was break down the Washington-LA Rams game and the Rams used two tight ends, two receivers, and one back. And, you know, it was a revolutionary kind of tactic or personnel group, and it created a lot of problems for Washington's defense because it was always a strong side, weak side, 3-on-2, you know, 4-on-3, 3-on-2, you know, matchup. And that personnel group ended up, you know, creating a real problem because you were able to get three receivers out on either side after the ball was snapped. Defense didn't know what it was. So, you know, that really struck me. That's one of the first things that Maxie Bone had me do was break down that game from the 74 season. And it really struck me as to how creative that formation and that personnel group was to causing defense problems. And, you know, we worked hard on that year and, of course, never saw it. It really didn't evolve until, you know, a couple of years later in 76, 77. You know, and then with, I think, you know, I'd say Gibbs made it more popular, you know, in the 80s. So, you know, it was a lot different back then. There were 11 players on each side of the ball. You didn't have all the situational substitutions. You had, you know, seven linemen, two tight ends, four backs, four receivers. And defensively, you had whatever it was, six defensive linemen or seven defensive linemen, maybe six linebackers and, you know, seven DBs. And, you know, a lot of times you had, you know, skill guys doing the return game, and that was right in the period where there were some punters and kickers that were also position players. And, of course, you know, we don't have any of that anymore. So, you know, now we don't even have a deep snapper. I don't think in the league that plays another position, you know, that's now specialized. So more specialization with players, more coaches, more personnel substitution, more different groupings, you know, that, and certainly the staffs have evolved and the player development has evolved as there's more people. You know, whether it's 90, like now we've got 90 people, you know, it's not one trainer anymore either. You know, you need a lot of people to care for those 90 players. So you have, you know, bigger training staffs, bigger strength and conditioning staffs, which a lot of teams didn't even have them back in 75. Say maybe half the teams, you know, I think Coach Knoll started at Pittsburgh, and, you know, usually it was a coach that had another position, was the strength coach, and in a lot of cases, as a coach who had other positions, coached the special teams, or maybe the offense coached, you know, the return game, and the defense coached the coverage game, or something like that. But, yeah, staffs have expanded, and I'd say back in those days, too, the head coaches usually, you know, were very involved in the coaching. You know, where they actually coach a position as well as being a head coach, which was also very common, you know, in college. I mean, that's kind of the way I grew up seeing it, whether it was at Navy or, you know, as a player, that the head coach coached a position. And it was actually, I don't want to say position coach, but he was a position coach. So, yep, lots changed in 40 years.
Do you miss any of that part of coaching? You know, I mean, I know you do something today, but right.
Well, that's the good thing about being a head coach. You can coach whatever you want. You know, you're not locked in one position. If I feel like coaching somebody, I go over there and coach them. And so that's nice. I mean, I enjoy that, you know, really do. If I want to meet with a group of players or an individual player and go over a film with them or go over the film with a group or that type of thing, then as head coach, you can do that. So that's kind of a benefit to it.
As it relates to a lot of what you were just saying, in preparation for certain teams and stuff, this time of year, when you look at last year, maybe you notice a trend that, and I'll use the Wildcat as an example, but it's not perfect, because you knew you were going to play the Dolphins. But if it's a team that, you know, started doing something, did it successfully, and you weren't going to play them this season, do you still set aside time and say, hey, this might be something that takes off with even more teams?
Yeah, I think those are the kind of things you gotta be aware of. You can go back to, you know, we just take the whole progression of it, whether it was, you know, teams going to two tight ends, teams going to three receivers, you know, the run and shoot offense that came in the mid 80s. You see those, you know, how far is it going to spread, the West Coast offense? And so I think, you know, you look at the coaches on other staffs, the teams that you're going to play, and, you know, if you see somebody on that staff that's, and it looks like they're going to be in an influential position with that team, and, you know, they would bring some of their ideas, you know, to that system. You know, it's smart in the off season to, you know, kind of look at what you might be dealing with there. And so, right, whether it's the wildcat, the run and shoot, the, you know, ride to side zone option, I mean, that's, you know, every team in our division runs that now. And, you know, 4 years ago, we weren't even talking about it. So, you know, would any of our other opponents do it? You know, I'm sure they would. You know, that was type of thing that you got to, you know, sometimes it grows legs or it starts to spread throughout the league, you know, which we all know is a little bit of a copycat league. So, absolutely. But yeah, I think you got to try to calculate it. You know, you don't want to waste a lot of time working on something you're never going to see. But at the same time, you want to be prepared for those type of things. So, you know, certainly the option offense in the NFL and the no-huddle offense in the last 5 years have taken on a lot more prominence than what they did, you know, back in, you know, 2007, 8, 9, you know, in there.
Well, how closely will you be watching Rob Gronkowski today, and what do you expect to see from him?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we evaluate every player every day, but Rob's been out there. I mean, we'll do what we've been doing with him the last 2 days and what we always do.
How did conditioning test go yesterday, and is everybody reporting?
Everybody that's under contract is here. Yep.
How did conditioning test go?
Well, I mean, as a total team, I think, you know, there are some players that are in different stages. Some guys, you know, are still working through some injury situations. Other guys are, I'd say for the most part, the guys that are healthy are in good condition and they seem to be ready to go. But we'll see. You know, there's a lot of big difference when you're running around a track and playing football. So that's what training camp's for. And part of training camp tests the player's endurance and staying power. So day after day, you know, grinding through it. You know, I think probably anybody in this league, any player in this league could go out and, you know, do a few good things, have a good day or two. I mean, if they can't do that, I don't know why they're in the league. But, you know, the guys that can do it day after day, the guys that could be consistent, the guys that continue to improve, you know, and handle the volume of things they have to handle from a scheme standpoint, communication standpoint, as well as physically, you know, those are the players that end up playing in this league, so... You know, I think this is a long process. I think it would be a big mistake to try to evaluate players based on one play, one period, one day. You know, we have opportunity to look at a player over a length of time, and that's what we're going to do. And I think that's really the, you know, the measuring stick, not, oh, he made one good play or, you know, he had a couple plays in practice today. I mean, that's great. But, I mean, I think just about every player in the league is capable of that.
A lot harder for you with camp the way it is now as opposed to back in the day when there were two practices a day almost every day and six preseason games in terms of evaluating players, especially young players. Is it harder now because you don't get
Sure. Yeah, you get less looks. But, I mean, but it's a level field, so you know, we're not practicing any less than anybody else is. And when I was with the Giants, you know, we had – I remember going into – that was only four preseason games. You know, we were in the 50s in terms of practices prior to the first regular season game. So, you know, 50, whatever it was, 2, 3, 4, however the year fell. But, you know, somewhere in that area, you know, we're about half that now, less than half that, I'd say. You know, we're in the low 20s, mid-20s, somewhere in there. So, yeah, the opportunities are less. But I'd say the off season is greater. The spring, you know, probably takes on more importance of those 13 days. Of OTAs and minicamp are, again, relative to, let's say, the 80s, the Giants, time when I was with the Giants, that's more than we did then. So some of the training camp practices have been shifted to the spring. But, you know, the more opportunities you have to look at a player, theoretically, the better, you know, your evaluation should be.
Does that give an edge to veteran players that you sort of have to balance in? Which, I mean, you're looking at a young guy.
Yeah, I think it's always been that way, though. Yeah, I think that's always... That's always been the case, you know, and you look, there are some young players that come into the league that, you know are going to be good players, and that's an easy decision. There are the young players that come into the league that are below the veteran players because of experience, maybe possibly because of physical development, especially, you know, at some of the, you know, bigger guys, bigger positions. And then you have to try to estimate whether that, you know, where those lines are going to cross, where the younger player is going to pass the veteran player, if he's going to pass him, if the veteran player is going to decline, if the young player is going to continue to improve or reach his potential. And so there's some, obviously, guesstimation in that, and that's a big, you know, big part of evaluating your team. A lot of that comes down to, in all honesty, a lot of that comes down to the opportunities that those players have. So, you know, players miss time, you get fewer opportunities. You know, if you're always seeing them against the same guy, they might be good on that matchup or they may not be good on that matchup, but, you know, how they do against other matchups and other, you know, other players, not just the one or two that they're facing on a daily basis on your team. So preseason games, preseason scrimmages, you know, though that's part of the evaluation too, but it's, I think it's important to, you know who the player is competing against. You know, guy looks good against somebody who's really not an NFL player, then, I mean, that's good, but that's not really, you know, the true evaluation. Eventually, you want to see NFL players play against NFL players.
How has Revis looked so far?
He's been here a few hours.
Since you acquired.
Revis has been fine. Worked hard, smart guy. Been impressed with him. Very professional. Very has good understanding of the game. He's a smart player, and he's it's very good, real good focus and instinct. He's a smart player scheme wise, but he knows how to play. He's been a very instinctive player.
Has he been even better than, I mean, watching, you know, you watched him from afar. You know, now that you have him in your camp, I mean, has that changed your opinion of him and as a player? Or?
Well, just on a personal level, you know, I never really had a personal relationship with him, so, you know, I've enjoyed that part of it. I'd say as a player, you know, he's played well at Tampa, he played well at the Jets. You know, saw him in the Pro Bowl. And now we've seen him, you know, ourselves for 13 practices, you know, the time in the spring. But, you know, I think his, you know. But, again, I mean, it's a new year. He's in a new system. So we'll see how it all, you know, how it all plays out. But I'm glad we have him on our team. Look forward to working with him more. Okay. All right. Thanks.